Yeah. So speaking of the weekend, Al, I had one of those weekends where my wife was out of town. It was just me and my youngest son. It was just the two of us.
Did you go to Vegas? No. You didn't have to work on Sunday. Look at you.
So he's 15. So there's nothing worse for a 15-year-old's look than hanging out with their dad. Like he wants no part of it. So he had something going on every day, and I basically had nothing on Saturday. Basically had nothing on. I played golf on Sunday morning, but it was home like 1 o'clock. It wasn't. Do you know how many hours of The Sopranos I watched this weekend?
And I can't Did even. You really?
I can't even tell you how I stumbled onto it the other day. Like I was flipping, I see HBO Max, and what's on? Oh, Sopranos. God, I haven't watched that in 10 years. Let me click on one. Next thing I know, 15 hours have gone
full
by.
Marathon.
I'm
yep,
in the middle
marathon.
Of season three in a weekend. How did that happen? Do you know how unproductive I was this weekend?
That's
it was
okay,
a completely
bro.
Lost weekend.
Don't worry about it. Remember that time we were trying to tell Funches to watch one of the greatest movies of all time, and it was
the chore.
Like pulling teeth
doing yard
to get
work.
Him to see The Godfather?
Roofing a house?
Still
okay, well,
to
how
get
long
three
is
hours
it?
Back.
Unbelievable, bro. Unbelievable.
Well, now he has to watch the Godfather series on Apple TV Plus that's going to come out soon, too.
Go straight to Godfather 3. Go straight to Godfather 3.
Isn't that the best one?
No.
1 and 2. 1 and 2. Yeah. 1 is the best one, but.
Have you had one of those weekends recently where you turn it on like, all right, I'm just going to watch one. And the sun is out and you just finished breakfast. And the next thing you know, it's dark and you're getting ready to order Postmates for dinner.
You've
had a bottle
Trav.
Of wine and you watch 14 episodes of The Sopranos.
It says that me, Emily, and Funches, we're very productive people.
I'm not.
We were all part of a volunteer group this weekend. We did 6 hours of cleanup. I was at the gym probably 4 or 5 hours on each day, working the Laker games as well, helping
some chores around the house.
Yep. Watch some kids just
that.
To help out,
I did do
you
that.
Know, just whatever I need.
I did clean up. The house was clean when my wife got home. So I had one winning part of that. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Okay.
We've all done that, by the way. Everyone. I mean, I think the last one I did was Squid Games, but even though that's only one season, I've done longer ones where it was like, what'd I do?
The
Wire?
With Sopranos? They're all like almost a full hour, right?
Yeah.
Those episodes are like 58 minutes long. They're long. Mm-hmm. And you don't, like, an hour. Okay, one more. Well, there's an hour. You do that 5 times, that's your day. It's gone. And I don't regret it. I'm pretty happy I did it. I've just gotten to the Johnny Sack years. It's very exciting. I know what's coming next, but it's a good time. I get that this is not going to be the reason the Lakers win an NBA championship, but how good was it to see THT back? How good was it to just see what he brought to that team? That it was just like a breath of fresh air, just a little bit of bounce, a little bit of energy that seems to have been missing.
Okay, so this actually will tie into this whole thing. Today's stat hero of the day is THT, Talen Horton-Tucker. So played 27 minutes, had 17 points, shot 7 of 14 from the field, also had 4 rebounds, a block, a steal, and assist. Stat hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa show, so we appreciate their partnership. Stat hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 100% deposit match. So to answer your question on the THT portion, it wasn't just THT was making his season debut for the Lakers. It wasn't just Talen Horton-Tucker in the offseason signed a 3-year, I'm forgetting the terms of his deal, $30-plus million, whatever it is with the Lakers. It was, you're not only going to play, we need you in the starting lineup. And I know, Trav, you're probably not happy or crazy about that, and I get kind of you've consistently said, well, Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook can't beat you against teams
Carmelo
that are not
Anthony.
Going to be in the playoff mix, and Carmelo. But actually, Carmelo I put into this mix as well. Carmelo, you shouldn't be depending this much on a 37-year-old to drop 25 points in a game. I think that
For
part
sure.
is dangerous, you
I
know,
agree
to
with you.
To depend on it. But that's what he's done, even though these last couple of games he's really
off.
Struggled. Yeah, he's really
off.
Struggled from three specifically.
Yeah.
Talen Horton-Tucker was so nice to see him back in the lineup, and he's going to be able – let me go through the list of guards for the Lakers for you, and I'm going to tell you why THT kind of stands out. I'm not including Russ in this.
Okay.
Rondo, Avery Bradley, Kent Bazemore, Malik Monk, Wayne Ellington. Those are the five guards that the Lakers have that are typically playing the shooting guard position or maybe even point guard. THC can go get a bucket, not whenever he wants, but pretty close to whenever he wants. He's a 20-year-old kid that has the ability to fantastic footwork. I could get to the basket. There was a point yesterday versus the Spurs where the Lakers, the lead was all the way down to two in the fourth quarter. It was 105 to 103. Who took the shot with the shot clock running down, attacking the basket, beautiful, you know, finger roll, whatever it was? It was Talen Horton-Tucker. So I think THT will probably play a bigger piece than I hate to do this because I told this to Michael yesterday. I'm like, why are we cannot make it sound like Talen Horton-Tucker, who's 20 years old, is going to be just this huge piece on this Lakers team. The way that I think you can't say it with Carmelo Anthony when you're 50, 60 games in, that he's going to give you 30 minutes a night or something along those lines. But it was great to see Talen Horton-Tucker last night.
I'm going to try this out. This kind of popped into my head as you were talking about this, that the Lakers, coming into the season, we knew that the Lakers were, if we're using the positive word, we're very experienced. If we're using the less positive word, they're old, right? And there's just a certain amount of mileage that a great many of the Lakers have on their odometers. And it's almost like when you get a young person into the mix, and the Lakers, I think, are experiencing this, that when you, as an older guy like myself, if you go out with younger people occasionally, you all of a sudden find yourself with a handful of 25-year-olds, You kind of get a little bounce. You kind of come up. You're able to stay out a little longer. You're able to hang out a little more and do some things that you wouldn't do if it was just you and your 40-something-year-old friends.
Are you asking to come party with me, my friends, Jeff?
Absolutely. Let's do it. That you can go, and it just kind of elevates it. That the Lakers can win games with their experience. The Lakers can win games because they have a really good team. They've got a really good roster. You got Carmelo and Russ and AD and LeBron. But when a younger element gets introduced to that, it just adds a little buzz, a little bounce, a little hop to the thing that wasn't there to begin with. And I think it was pretty obvious yesterday that it's not just, oh, they played X percent faster. It's just a little bit of that intangible bounce that younger, fresher legs bring to an older, more experienced team.
So weird weekend for the Lakers because you had the collapse on Friday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves where the Lakers – got outscored in the third 40-12. At one point, they're down 30-plus points. I mentioned this to you earlier in the show. If you want to lose a really bad game, do it on a Friday night because then you have Saturday. You have Sunday. You're going to play another game on Sunday. So by the time you get to Monday, a lot less people are talking about that game. But when I say it was a weird weekend, Trav, kind of the way it's been for the Lakers, right? You split a couple games. You play down to your competition. It's not like, you know, you walked out of the weekend saying, okay, Lakers beat Minnesota by 20, and then they turned around on Sunday and beat the Spurs by 20. That wasn't the case. They got a stretch coming up here starting tonight against the Chicago Bulls. They're going to play some good competition. And this is where LeBron, by the way, is day-to-day, so he could come back at any moment. Maybe he comes back tonight. Maybe he comes back during this road trip. But, you know, we say this with the Rams. When you start looking forward to the Rams, they're sitting at 7-2. They got a game tonight in San Francisco, but the Packers are coming up. You're going to get a chance at Arizona. You get all these kind of tough matchups that's going to be in front of you. Lakers' honeymoon at Staples Center ends tonight. 12 of their first 15 games at Staples Center. After tonight, that honeymoon ends, and the Bulls are going to be a tough team. At Milwaukee, at Boston, at Detroit, at New York, at Indiana, coming up this five-game road trip. I think, you know, once LBJ does come back and once we kind of finally start seeing some type of consistency with this team, we'll see what, you know, they really are. But I thought it was interesting that THT came back and boom, they put him into the starting lineup. And I think that tells kind of a story how it tells how also that there's been nobody out there that has kind of said I should be guaranteed to be a starter as far as some of those role players.
There are two things that I think I know for sure about this Laker team through the first 14 games. The first one is LeBron James is even more valuable than I thought, which I think I've said every season for the last 15 seasons. That every year, just like, you know, he's actually even better than I thought. And number two is, I don't know what the rest of this is. I don't know, both good and bad. There are moments because everything you said, this weekend was a perfect example. They get smoked by a bad team on Friday, and they come back and they win on Sunday. It's just this, they'll look terrible, and then they'll look okay. I haven't seen the really good look other than Miami. And they didn't play great against Miami, but there was a little bit of that buzz, a little bit of that bounce, a little bit of that hop that we're talking about. I don't know, man. I don't know how to feel. I don't like what I've seen because, like you said, 12 of the first 14 that they've played, or I guess 11 of the first 14 that they've played, are at home. Their record is pedestrian. They're 8-6. They haven't really looked very good. They've blown some games to some really bad teams. But there's also kind of the so what element. There's only 14 games. LeBron's missed most of them. I just don't know what this is other than I don't like what I've seen.
Well, they're going to have to – I think this is the best way to put it. They'll have to change your narrative, right? We have to be sitting here 20 games from now where you start saying – you know what, that start that the Lakers had really wasn't that big of a deal. And I think maybe we are making two, but they have to change that narrative. You know, as much as you and I will try to, you know, sit back and say, well, LeBron's going to come back and everything's just going to be perfect. I think you had enough to have a better record than, of course, 8-6 to start off the season. But they've the antenna's gone up on a few games where you just kind of sit back and say, shouldn't they be dominating some of these games more, especially at Staples Center with some of that competition?
It depends on how it changes, though, doesn't it? I mean, for instance, if it changes because LeBron James comes back and they're really good, right? Let's say LeBron comes back, whether it's tonight or the game after that.
All of a sudden, Russ has the ball less in his hands. He becomes better because, you know.
All of that. Yep. LeBron comes back and all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, that's cool. I'm here for that. But doesn't that put you in a really weird spot? Because now you're just holding your breath every time he goes out and plays. Now you're just crossing your fingers and your toes.
I don't think it does.
He stays healthy. Because if that's the only thing that changes, and let's say he comes back and plays 10 games and, I don't know, gets a cold and needs to miss a game, and then the next two games it's right back to the way it was, that really hasn't changed anything. That just means that you got the best guy who's playing like the best guy and is covering up for everyone else not being particularly good. But if he comes back, plays 10 games, and misses a couple more, and it still looks pretty good, that's the narrative change that you're looking for. Not just that LeBron is the greatest deodorant in the world and covers up all the stink from what's not going so great.
But I think the reality, Trav, no matter what plays out once LeBron does come back, we know that they're not going to go anywhere without LeBron. And by the way, if Anthony Davis gets injured and LeBron is there, they're not going to go anywhere without AD. That's the reality. The reality is, I think for the Lakers, yeah, you added some really interesting role players, players that I think will excel as the season progresses. But if you think the Lakers are going to do much, and I'm talking about down the road, postseason, anything like that, AD's got to be there and incredibly healthy. LeBron's got to be there and incredibly healthy. And Russ has got to know where he fits in on this team. We'll see what happens.
All right. It is a $1 Million Monday.
Let's go.
Right now, it's your chance to win $1 million. You can win some Rams tickets to see him play the Jags.
Yeah, awesome. But Rams, Jags, December 5th.
Call in right now, and you're going to need to know your Odell Beckham Jr. trivia if you want a chance to win. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
All right, no one plays daily fantasy sports to lose, Trav. Winning feels way better.
Yep.
And with Stat Hero, you can. They're the first daily fantasy sports platform where it's you versus the house in head-to-head matchups, winner take all.
Would you rather beat a bunch of people, or would you rather have to beat one person? I don't have to beat a giant pool of guys. I don't have to beat, you know,
you want to do a little 2x2 action. You want to do a 4x4.
I just need to beat them. I just need to beat, and they're telling me what they have. I know the cards in their hands. Can I do better than that? That's why I love Stat Hero, the best place for daily fantasy sports.
All right, you could sign up for free right now at stathero.com/710ESPN. Use the promo code 710ESPN for a 100% deposit match. That's stathero.com/710ESPN, promo code 710ESPN, terms and conditions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Rams only have 3 home games left, Al. You've got
That's it,
Seahawks, the You've got the Jags, and I'm totally blanking on the last 49ers. One that they have. The 49ers, of course. They have their second game against the 49ers. So just three home games left, so you're going to want to win those tickets. You heard Chris explain how it is. You need to answer a trivia question. If you get it right, we need a final score of each team in the Super Bowl, and you will go see the Rams and the Jags coming up on December 5th. Million Dollar Monday is brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Al, where are we going first?
Why don't we start off with Miguel calling out in Fullerton. Miguel, hope you're ready for some Odell Beckham Jr. trivia. You ready, bud?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay, Miguel, what's your last name, by the way?
Gonzalez.
All right, Miguel Gonzalez. Here we go. What Ram was taken right after Odell Beckham Jr. in the 2014 draft? Do you know the answer, buddy?
After Odell Beckham?
After Odell Beckham. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Need an answer.
So Aaron Donald?
Hey, got it. Right out of the chute. He typed just fast enough, I think, to find that one out. Congratulations, Miguel. You got it right. It is Aaron Donald was the immediate pick after Odell Beckham Jr. in the 2014 draft. So Miguel Gonzalez, you are going to go see the Rams and the Jags coming up on December 5th. And here's what happens next. I need an AFC, I need an NFC team, and I need the amount of points for each team.
Miguel, before you give your answer, this is the equivalent of what just happened was if callers had a chance to throw in the flag to review it. They would ask to throw in the flag. Then we would go back and we'd look at the video and we would determine whether it was in time. But you know what? We're not going to do that. So what do you got? AFC, NFC team.
Google search. It was off the top. I promise.
Sure. Of course it was.
All right. What do you got? Who do you got in the Super Bowl and what's the score that you have?
All right. I got Rams 27, Ravens 17.
Okay. Well, that would be a rematch because they actually play each other a little bit later on in the season. 27-17, Rams over the Ravens in the Super Bowl, which will be played at SoFi Stadium. Miguel Gonzalez from Fullerton, stay on the line, and Emily's going to make sure you get your tickets to see the Jags and the Rams. Yeah, how about that? You imagine you had Odell Beckham has had a nice career. I don't know if it's been a great career, but it's a nice career to this point. Aaron Donald's going straight to the Hall of Fame. He's getting one of those gold jackets, and that's why the draft is such a weird deal, right? You just don't know if you're getting a bust. You don't know if you're getting a guy with a pretty good career or you're getting a guy that could change the direction of your franchise.
Well, they're on the same squad now, and they could both do what you know, obviously every Ram fan, the only thing they care about is trying to win a Super Bowl. And you know, this is what's interesting. Over the weekend, get a text from Emily. We're both on it, and it's about what happened to Robert Woods. His injury, tore his ACL, and right out the gate when that happened, I think part of the conversation was, okay, well, what's going to happen now? That's, you know, you're so lucky that you got Odell Beckham Jr. You were mentioning this a little bit earlier, and I think it's good to point it out again. It's not like Robert Woods was just one of those players that was one-dimensional. It's not like the guy just caught a few passes and you thought, okay, hey, that's all he brings to the table. It sounds like this is a much more significant injury, and it's not Odell just trying to catch the ball, but it's these other intangibles that he brings to the table.
No, you're right. Look, the best wide receiver on the Los Angeles Rams is Cooper Kupp. The answer to the question, who's the best wide receiver in football, might be Cooper Kupp. So they've got him. He's their best wide receiver. He leads the team in touchdowns, receptions, yards, the whole thing. Who's the most important player on the Rams offensively? It's Matthew Stafford because he's the quarterback. And without the quarterback, we've seen what that looks like. It just doesn't run the way it's supposed to run. But the guy that does a little bit of all of that, and what we're talking about, does he score touchdowns? Yeah. Does he block? Yeah. Does he run every route that there is to run on the route tree? Yeah. Is he a guy that catches a lot of balls? Yeah. Is he tough? Physically tough where he can kind of spark your team. He can go over the middle and take a big hit and pop up and keep going. Yeah. Is he a guy that's universally well-liked on that team? Yeah. He's one of those players that when he's on your team, you realize how – when he was in Buffalo, I knew he was a good player. You know, yeah, you'd see him on highlights every once in a while. He'd catch a touchdown here and there. It's like, yeah, Robert Woods is a pretty good player. When he came over here to L.A., it's like, oh, my goodness. This guy's not just a really good player. He's a fantastic player, and it's not because of what the back of his football card looks like. It's all of the other stuff that we're talking about. He's going to be missed. Odell Beckham Jr. may have a more impressive skill set. He may not, but you could make the argument, you know, he's a little bit faster, you know, more whatever. telling you, what Robert Woods brought to the Rams is borderline irreplaceable. He's an incredibly integral part of what they do. He's the heart and soul of that team. Is he the best player on the team? No. But there wasn't one thing that he didn't do snap after snap after snap that didn't impact them in a positive way. And without him, they're gonna be chasing it. Now, I don't think it's a fatal blow. I don't think it's something that they can't recover from. I still think that they're going to win that division. I still think that they're going to be one of the teams to beat going into the playoffs. But that guy is really hard to replace. You just don't slide OBJ into that spot and keep it moving.
You think OBJ has got a big impact tonight?
Not tonight.
I don't think so either.
There's just not enough time. He's been here, what, 10 minutes? And I get it. Football is football. And I remember Key telling me this one time, that there are really only 9 routes to run, right? You run a stick, you run a curl, you run a wheel. There's only so many things that you can do. And if you've been playing football as long as you have been, by the time you get to the NFL, you know the 9 routes. But it's not just that simple. There are so many different little subtleties that go along. And if then, this is why Kupp and Stafford are so good. It's those if-then scenarios. If this happens, then you do this and I do that. If that happens, then we go over here. And it's just second nature. You don't have to discuss it. It just happens. It's going to take Odell Beckham some time to get up to speed on that. I know that, like Michael, for instance, I'm sure you've heard this a million times. You get a practice or two together, everything fine. I just don't buy it. It just doesn't work like that. It's a work in progress, and I don't think he'll have a huge impact tonight. I'd love to be wrong, but I do think he could have a pretty big impact by the time we're a month from now. And quite frankly, he's going to have to. If they're going to go where they want to go, he's going to have to go from a luxury to a necessity.
Well, this is the, I guess you could say, the good part. They're playing the 49ers. Niners are not this. I know Niners have won the last 4 matchups against the Rams, but you're not playing. It's going to be good that he gets this game, then a bye week, and then it's Green Bay, and then Jacksonville, and then it's Arizona. So I think for Odell, and I think for the Rams as well, just focus on this game in front of you tonight. It's Monday Night Football game. It's nationally televised. You're coming off that loss to the Titans. You want to stay at pace with where the Packers are and where the Cardinals are. So big game simply because of the circumstances and where the Rams are. But I don't think you're walking into this game tonight saying, well, Odell's got to have one of those games. No, he doesn't.
No, but I'll say this. I don't think he does have to have one of those games, and I don't think he will have one of those games. He's not going to have a game where he catches, you know, 10 passes for 160 yards and a touchdown.
Yep.
But what he might is catch 2 passes for 80 yards and a touchdown. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They might have one in their back pocket. Look, when we need it, we're going to send him on this route into this coverage, and we're going to hit it because he's still got skills. We'll see how this fits together, but he can still go get it, and he can still play at a pretty high level. I just don't know if he's up to speed on whatever it is that they're doing. We'll see.
Okay, Alex Caruso is back at Staples Center tonight. This time he's in the visitor locker room. It's going to be funny, Trav, and I think we can spend a little time on this. First, it was a week ago we were talking about how things kind of panned out with – he was on the J.J. Redick podcast, and he kind of told the story of what went on in the background in the offseason. Then there was a good article this morning, Bill Orme of The Athletic, just kind of having another conversation with him. I think the Staples Center crowd is going to give so much love to Alex Caruso tonight.
For sure.
And I think one of the conversations to have is, out of everything that happened in the offseason, at all the moves that the Lakers made, does this Alex Caruso not returning to the Lakers, how big of a deal was that? How big of a deal is that? By the way, if they had to choose, and if you're out there driving around, you're listening to this show, if you had to choose between Talen Horan-Tucker and Alex Caruso, did the Lakers make the right decision? 877-710-ESPN. All that coming up next. Stay right here, Travis and Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of the Lakers,
that's how we do.
I'm just making sure that they can't end in a tie like the NFL, right? There are no, like, after quadruple overtime, they don't just say send everyone home, because Najee Harris didn't know there were ties in the NFL.
Okay, so first of all, he should know that there's ties. Let's start off with that. But the second thing is ties are so ridiculous in the NFL. For them, like, what do you – I don't understand how people walk away from the game yesterday in Pittsburgh. Like, what do you do? Like, there's no – you're supposed to feel one way or the other.
Just go home. Get ready for work. That's it.
Just get ready for work. Yeah. It's no. Like, you know, I don't know how that tastes.
Yeah,
it was
like
either
anything.
Good or it wasn't good. No, I have no comment.
It is a glass of room temperature tap water. It's not bad for you, but it's not really very good. It's just, it's kind of there, and you drink it, and you keep moving. There's not much to it.
Keep it moving.
Here's the thing, though. You say there shouldn't be ties. If there is any sport where there should be ties, it's the NFL. Well, you want to play you want to play another overtime? You don't play double headers in football.
Bro, all you got to do is just kick a field goal. That's all you got to do. Just got to get to
the
35.
The Lions were involved. The Lions were involved. They'd still be out there.
Get to the 35. Yeah, but Pittsburgh is on the other
side.
Yeah,
but Ben isn't playing. What is it, Mason Rudolph yesterday? Was he the quarterback?
Yeah.
Those two guys could go the next 30 years and not put the ball in the end zone or get close enough for a field.
I don't know. Run, pick two guys. You run a 40. Quickest one at the end is that's
who
wins.
By the way, I've always liked those weird ways to end games. Like, okay, game's over. It's tied. Let's do this. You get your best guy. You get your best guy. Let's play chess. Whoever wins the chess match wins the game. One hand of poker to do the whole thing.
Play handball. I don't know. Do anything.
Something. Do something different. ESPN Radio brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. You said something, Al, that I think is spot on. People at Staples Center are going to go crazy tonight for Caruso. They're going to be thrilled to see
freaking Caruso. How's that guy wearing a red Bulls jersey? What the hell is going on here?
They chose THT instead. They made a business decision. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they work out. Sometimes they don't. But he's coming in wearing a Bulls uniform tonight, and Laker fans they're going to be happy to see him, but at the same time, he should still be on our team.
So here's what's funny, and I remember, you know, we're getting into the offseason, even as all this just unfolded, and I compared the two players. Let's say we're just saying either Talen Horan-Tucker or Alex Caruso. There are a lot of layers to this because I think for the immediate future, for just this season alone, if we're talking about just this championship run right now, Caruso is a very, very important piece to a championship team. It's a compliment to him. I'm not telling you he's going to go put up 25 points, but he's going to go guard one of the best players on the opposing team. He's going to be a nuisance on the defensive side. He's going to grab rebounds. He's going to make unselfish plays. He's just this is how he's earned his paycheck. This is why he got a 4-year deal with the Chicago Bulls. These are the reasons that, you know, come into play. I say all that, but I also pause. If you told me who's got more upside, who's got more value over the next 4 or 5 years, Talen Horan-Tucker is 20 years old. And, Trav, you're going to get a chance as the season progresses, whether we like it or not, to see the value that he has, or maybe even what's going to be put on his shoulders to just deliver on a night-in-night-out basis. That's going to be unrealistic, by the way. He's going to have nights we're going to say he looks like he's 20 years old, and there's other times nights we're going to say, wow, THT looks like a fantastic player well ahead of his age. So I think you can make a case either way, but obviously the Lakers chose. I know we got some callers here that we can get to, but we'll get a chance to see Alex Caruso with the Bulls tonight.
Yeah, what are we playing for, right? And that's the question that Rob Pelinka is probably asking himself in the offseason. Like, are we trying to win a championship this year and damn the torpedoes and everything that comes out after that? Or are we going to try to build for the future? Or are we going to try to have this kind of one foot in both universes at the same time?
And I think that's the Lakers.
I think so too. And it's the hardest place to be. It's the hardest place to be. We're going to be really good right now, but we're also pretty set up for the future. It's why the Dodgers are so amazing at what they do, because the future is probably more THT than it is Caruso. The present is definitely more Caruso than it is THT. We saw how he fits in with LeBron and AD. I mean, perfect, right?
Well, you know what's funny, Trav? You know what's funny? That's actually a big curiosity of mine, that it's not fair for us to even say that right now, because in 40 games we might be saying, no, the Lakers really need what THT brings to the table, and he's improved defensively and this and that. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's obviously no guarantees.
All right, let's try Los Angeles and George. George, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on, George?
Oh, hi, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for calling in, bud.
Mm-hmm. my thought is this. I thought the Lakers made the right choice to if they had to choose between Caruso and THT. THT certainly has a higher upside. He certainly demonstrated that last night, scoring, I believe, 17 points. Caruso's not going to be a high-volume scorer like THT has. But the issue that I have right now is, if you're talking about a win-now situation, I think the Lakers should have gone over the luxury tax to keep him, even though it would have cost them maybe $35 million because of the luxury tax issues. And the reason why I say this is that very few players can make LeBron James that much better. And his plus-minus when he and LeBron are on the court together is off the charts. No one has ever made LeBron that good. And I think they should have taken the gamble and paid that extra money. The luxury gone over the luxury tax.
Appreciate it, George.
It was going to cost you $35 million.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Okay, so I say this, Trav. You're right. They could have, right? They could have went over that luxury tax. I think what Pelinka thought this offseason, he was able to go get a lot of bargain deals. Carmelo Anthony is playing on the minimum.
Yep.
There are plenty. Malik Monk is playing. Kendrick Nunn was a mid-level exception. I think they thought in their mind, we can still round up a roster because of the guys that we already have on this team, players that want to go see if they can use the Lakers as a platform to then go get a check next offseason, right? And I think they genuinely thought, no, we can find a way to replace Caruso. You know what's kind of funny is so far this year, before Austin Reeves got injured, Austin Reeves was earning minutes with the Lakers. No, you had to give him minutes because he was playing better than guys like Kent Bazemore. He was doing more. He was more of a threat from the outside than Avery Bradley, just using those names as a couple examples. Right now, early on, I think it's very, very safe to say that the Lakers could have used a guy like Alex Caruso, but I think we still also have to let his game plan, we got to let it, I guess you can say, let it marinate a little bit longer before you make any determination.
Let's try another one. Stick in L.A. Let's go to Eric this time. Eric, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how's it going? So I don't even think this should be a question. It's THT, and it's not even that close. He's 20 years old. He really realistically could be a sophomore coming out of college right now, and he's already a world champ. Here's why I say that. He can absolutely make an all-star team. Alex Caruso has already hit his peak. He's not going to get any better. He was already playing at the best basketball of his career. He's playing with the best player in LeBron James. But I don't think this should be even a question. I think THT is better now, and I think he's going to be significantly better in a few years. I don't really think this is a great question.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
I appreciate you calling in.
Here's the thing, and I everything Eric said, I think I agree with. You know, specifically the part of saying, close your eyes. Can you see Talen Horton-Tucker on an All-Star team? Yeah, I can. It doesn't feel like really that much of a stretch. I think that would be unlikely a result for Alex Caruso. Here's where I go in a different direction. So what? You know what I mean? That we're not building an All-Star team. We're not building a fantasy basketball team. We're not building a roster full of, okay, because look, the Lakers have, what do we see, is it four or five guys that are walking straight into the Hall of Fame when this is all said and done. They have an all-star team, but do they have a good team? This is the part that we don't know the answer to yet, right? Maybe the pieces will start to fit together better at some point, but Alex Caruso makes your team better. All of the things that he does, he defends, he can make an open shot. Like you've said a few times, he had that knack of knowing exactly when to cut to the basket. LeBron and he had kind of a little telepathy thing going. They really played very, very well together. He played really well with AD. He made your team better. He didn't have to suck up shots, none of those things. THT may be a better basketball player just in a vacuum, but in a team, in real life, I don't know if that makes a difference. You need guys that are not your future all-stars. You need some guys that are just really good NBA players, and that's Alex Caruso.
All right, let's squeeze in one more here. Jonathan in L.A. Jonathan, what's going on? You're on the Travis and Sliwa show.
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
Sir. Yep. Hello.
Yeah, I was calling about Alex Caruso. Man, Lakers should have kept him. He has good defense with us. He knows how to play with LeBron and Rondo and AD in them. I think he's just a better fit even a win-now mode.
Appreciate you calling in, Jonathan. All right, Trav, we'll make this very simple here.
Okay.
The the vision that Rob Pelinka had with this team and this roster, it's incomplete. Obviously, a lot of guys have been missing. The season will have to play out. Let me use last year as an example as well. We'll never really know if Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell and Kyle Kuzma and KCP and Marc Gasol and the Wesley Matthews, we'll never really know if the roster that he put together was the right roster because they were never healthy. And AD wasn't available in the playoffs.
That's fair.
It's easy to say now, well, that didn't work. What really didn't work was the fact that the Lakers weren't healthy. This year, as the season progresses, you're either, you know, we had, what, two callers say it's THT, no question about it. Another call, and one of those callers saying you should have kept Caruso as well. You should have paid into the luxury tax. Somebody else saying Alex Caruso. This is only a conversation because they're playing the Bulls tonight. At the end of the day, when they stop playing Chicago and we're just paying attention to how the Lakers are doing on a night-in-night-out basis, either the vision of Rob Pelinka will come to fruition or it won't. And I think so far this year, there are a lot of question marks with this Lakers team, but they got to be healthy as well.
Unless one other thing happens, which I'll tell you that next. It's Travis Lee plus The Dump coming up next on 710 ESPN. Busy day here, Al. You're going to just do me a favor. Keep me up to speed on the Lakers. Just shoot me a text
gotcha.
Here or there.
Gotcha.
I'll let you know what's going on in the Rams game. We got a busy night. Monday Night Football is still kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, I know Sunday night's kind of the spot for most of these primes, but this is a really good Monday night game. The Rams, they need to bounce back after doing a kind of laying an egg on Sunday Night Football. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, and I think I know it's different here in LA, but anytime you got these AFC or these NFC West matchups, there's something to it. You know, anytime the Rams got the Cardinals or they got the Seahawks, they got the Niners, so this won't be exciting. By the way, got a status report for tonight's game for the Lakers. So officially, LeBron James out tonight versus the Chicago Bulls. So the earliest he can come back would be Wednesday when they start that five-game road trip.
Yep, they're going to have to go out on the road for real for the first time all season long. Hope, look, win tonight, you get through those 9-6. You're like, okay. That's not great, but it's not terrible either.
It's not terrible.
Yeah,
it's not terrible.
You could at least, and you say 9-6 without LeBron for most of those games, you could talk yourself into feeling at least halfway decent.
Here's the only thing about that. I think the Lakers, this kind of goes back to this. It's really tough to give them the benefit of the doubt, to think that, oh, you know what, they're going to handle. I think they'll probably play up to their competition tonight, kind of like they did against Charlotte and Chicago at home at Staples. Charlotte and Miami. But it's not a lock by any stretch of the imagination. Bulls just won last night against the Clippers. They snapped their, I think, 7-game winning streak. So it'll be a tough game.
Lakers, as they're playing right now, nothing is guaranteed. They can beat anybody. It's proven against Miami, but they got housed by Minnesota. So go go figure out what's coming up next. Let's do the dump. I'm worried, Al.
What do you got
about this? There is going to be a television series based on The Godfather for Apple Plus. That seems like a very risky proposition. When you take some very well-known characters, a very well-known story, and try to add to it in a TV series, that feels like it could go bad.
Well, I think it just depends on who you're asking. Because if you're asking Funches, he's going to say, well, it can only go up. It can only get better. That's what's going to go through Funches' mind. I'm with you. I get a little weary. I get a little scared every time we do this. What was the prequel that it just did for The Sopranos?
Still waiting to get those 3 hours back.
Many Unbelievable. Saints of Newark.
Unbelievable.
Is it really that bad, Funch? Was it just underwhelming?
No, it wasn't that bad. You know what? Like I told you guys the other day, I have Godfather 2 on my DVR just in case one day I want to watch it. But it was just kind of slow. Just really slow.
Can't do this, bro. I can't do this.
Well, no, hold on a second. Let's be objective here. He's not – it's really good, but it's not – you're not like you're on the edge of
your seat. It's not Goodfellas, you know, where it's constant action.
You're not on the edge of your seat for 3 hours.
Unbelievable he's selling you on this. T. Raj, you're starting to go the other way.
No, I'm not.
We're losing our people one by one.
Come on to my side, Travis.
No, I'm not. I'm still on Slee's side, but he's right about saying it's not an action.
Well, what do you think it was? Lethal Weapon 2? Like, it's not.
No,
that's a good movie.
You know what happens at the drive-thru? we'll come back to that some other time. How about this? Reese's. Yeah, the Peanut Butter Cups guys.
Yep.
They're coming out with a pie for Thanksgiving that's basically just a giant Reese's Peanut Butter Cup that weighs 3.25 pounds. You in for a giant slice of Reese's for post-Thanksgiving
dessert? Not going to lie. That's a really good idea. That really is. That's like a really good idea to have something. No, I don't know of anybody that doesn't like Reese's peanut butter cups.
They're pretty good.
And just look at a Reese's peanut. Is that not a mini version of a pie? Take that bad boy, make it bigger, cut that thing up a little bit, and all of a sudden people are grabbing some stuff for Thanksgiving.
Or you could just take and throw a couple of regular peanut butter cups on everybody's plate and say, I didn't want to go make the pie or buy the pie. I had a little leftover Halloween candy.
That's not good marketing. By the way, are we going to do this again? I'm going to already hallucinate. What are the games on for Thanksgiving?
It's the Lions. And
why are we doing
play?
This? What are we doing here?
The Cowboys have a good game. I forget who, but and then well, I Cowboys, don't know what the prime time is.
Listen, if the squads are good, fantastic. Put them in there. But if the Lions and the Washington football team and some of these other teams are awful.
The Bears.
It literally, the food doesn't taste as good when that game is on in the background.
Well, it's your fault if you're watching that Lions game. That's what you should be doing. Go do a 10K or go drive to grandma's house. That's why that is there.
It's not like I sit there and watch the whole game. I just like having it in the background.
How about this one? Kansas, the University of Kansas, the Jayhawks, they won their first road game in the Big 12 since, wait for it, 2008.
That's not bad.
They had not won a road game in conference in 13 seasons, and they did it against the Longhorns. I get it. They just hired Steve Sarkisian. He's been there for 5 minutes. That's how you get your ass fired, is by losing that game to that team at home in front of your fans. That's
how
you get yourself fired.
Is the athletic director saying, man, how time flies, huh? Am I right? 2008?
Well,
yeah, that's not a good look.
A terrible look. Jimmy Lake, the head coach at the University of Washington, he is looking for a job. Speaking of college coaches that got fired, they got rid of him this weekend, and you got to wonder, Slee, if him smacking that kid in the helmet on TV didn't have a lot to do with that.
Hmm. Yeah, listen, there's a way to do things, and let's take that one off of the not a good idea to do that. Let's just say that
look.
As a head football coach.
I think it looked far worse than it was, but it looked pretty terrible along the way. How about this? This day in 1988, Kirk Gibson won the National League Most Valuable Player Award.
Okay? How awesome is that?
Well, it's funny you say that because we all remember the home run, and it was awesome, and all the things that came along in 88. Go back and look at Kirk Gibson's stats in 1988.
Was it not MVP?
Not even close. A very pedestrian
year. Well, it's a good thing they give the awards away, like we said, 3 months after the World Series is over.
How about this? Regular season ends, add it up. Before
Bam.
The playoffs even start.
There
here
it
you
is.
Go. Here's your MVPs. Here's your Cy Young.
Is that
here's
how,
your
wait,
of the year.
The NBA, I think, waits until the postseason ends as well.
Yeah, I don't
Which
think.
Makes it that much more.
If it
more,
doesn't count in the postseason, then what are we waiting for?
It doesn't help the player, too, because when they win it, everybody's like, oh, well, how do you give it to this guy? Look what this guy's doing in the postseason.
All right, Rams Monday night game tonight. We got the Lakers Monday night game tonight against the Bulls. Slee and I are going to be all over everything tomorrow morning. We get started at 9:55. Mason and Ireland coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.